You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is the very chatty Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We have a fabulous show planned today. Thank you all for the text and emails and all the people who called this morning about our show. We had quite a few people who were interested in today's topics, the Zonta Club and the Epilepsy Foundation. And Ellen Little is here as usual, co-hosting with me.
It's great to be here. October 1st. By the way, did you know, here's a little trivia. Today is the number one birthday in the United States because it's the gestation period from New Year's and Christmas.
Is it?
There you go.
It's also the start of Domestic Violence Month as well.
That's right.
And I got a lot of emails about that this morning from Serene Harbor, which they're having a luncheon soon.
Yes.
I think it's next Friday. I think I bought tickets. I've been buying tickets for all these things.
Check your calendar.
So for those of you who are tuning in, we have a great show planned today. We've got Erica McKinney, who is with the Epilepsy Foundation. She is the Community Resource Specialist for Epilepsy Florida, and they're now part of Epilepsy Alliance America. And she's been working with them for 11 years, and she will be calling in to speak a little bit about what is epilepsy, what is the mission, what kind of services to provide, and how we could bring more awareness to such a very important topic. And for those who are suffering from it as well, stay tuned because we may have some information for you. In studio, we have our friend, Agent Cindy Young, who's been with the Sheriff's Special Victims Office for how long?
Been there over 9 years, almost 10 years.
A long time.
Yes.
Almost 10. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And then we have our friend Claire Ellis, who's always supported Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. She's with the Zonta Club, and her title is the Anti-Human Trafficking Chair. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us on. It's always a joy and a pleasure to be on your show.
What a great lineup, huh, Ellen?
We do have a great
And a very busy Ellen. Ellen,
I know, I'm like answering all these people from Facebook Live. So all of you that are commenting on the Facebook Live video that we just did, thank you so much. And we're here live. We are here live.
Yeah, we should have started that a long time ago because a lot of my coworkers, they'll say, well, why don't you tape the entire show? But I said, well, we only have two arms and two legs.
That's right.
And Ellen and I are trying very, very diligently to do what we can, but we can't do that.
That's
maybe
right.
One day, right?
Maybe one day.
So the news, my goodness, everybody's been glued. I didn't have a lot of people waving my signs for my campaign last week because they were very truthful and they admitted they were home watching the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yes.
And I was like, really? They're like, yeah, we're watching the people were watching
Nothing
glued
has been
actually
more
to the television sets.
Then the OJ. Remember when the OJ Simpson thing happened and people were watching that like it was like they would skip work and doing all kind of, this is the same kind of thing.
Well, people want the hearings to be fair and just. I mean, it is the highest court in the land, and Judge Brett Kavanaugh will Kavanaugh with a GH would be there if all goes well and he's got a good salary and health insurance and no stress. He probably lived to be in his 90s, like our Ruth Ginsburg. So people want to make sure that they put the right person on the bench.
Yep.
And then all these allegations. The one thing, and we talked about this last week, was alcoholism, alcohol, teenagers, no supervision at houses.
Yeah, that's
like what
a
you walk away with.
It's
a bad. It is. It's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. And you know, my children used to think that I was so mean when I would say, "Well, I don't want people in the house that I don't know. I want to know whose houses you're going to. Who are these people? I want to know their background, their culture, where they live." Because, you know, these are things that come back to haunt you later on in life when you do stupid things.
Well, and I think you were the one who said that you see these parents driving their kids up to the driveway and just dropping them off. And they never knock on the door and see who they're leaving their kid with. Or,
Yeah,
know?
I mean, but we lived...
Not that you're, you know, I mean, you always lived in nice houses, so you can only assume, right?
Well, we lived in Tortoise Island, right? And we were there for like 20-something years. And how many birthday parties our children had at the clubhouse or at our house, and parents would drive up and just assume because you have a nice house and you live in such an affluent neighborhood that you're a good person. Well, dude, you need to come to the door, ring the doorbell, get out of your car and come out and shake the hand, look the person in the eye and say, my child is going to be here from this time to this time. But people weren't doing that. And not all, but quite a few.
Yeah.
And I would come out because that's my culture to meet the people. Right. And the car would be gone. And there's a beautiful little kid in the front, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, we all need to be responsible. And it used to be in the old days we had community policing, right? And people in the communities looked out for each other. We need to really be thy brother's keeper, not just in thoughts and words, but in action as well.
Yes.
No matter where we live. Amen. No matter where we live. So alcohol and all these things that that are being permitted. And then you have parents that actually drink with their children as well. I mean, when they're grown up, you know, it's a different story. But if you have it in your home, I don't know.
Well, it just doesn't make sense, because then it's like, what other laws can we break, right? I mean, so if you're allowing me to drink when I'm under 21, what other laws am I allowed to break? You know, so let me go rob a house, or let me go take somebody else's stuff, or, you know, because breaking one law, what's the difference?
It was a sign of wealth back in the islands. You know, people who were able to purchase a lot of alcohol, they were considered very rich. So when you go to a wedding, or you go to a birthday party, or you go to a country club, the first thing they did was hand you a glass. But a lot of people can't control the urge to drink so much. And so people were drinking and driving, and it causes a lot of accidents and stuff. But also, I think it set the wrong tone for society as well, that you're my friend if you can go out with me, hang out and drink. I mean, what happened to just garden or go clean up the beach or save the environment, save a whale, human traffic, and join a club, right? You could drink. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but be responsible,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But we notice even in our own family circle and friend circle, even at funerals, they had booze in the trunk. What do you do with booze in the trunk of a car at a funeral?
Right.
You know.
Right.
But anyways, I think Erica.
And that all started with the Kavanaugh hearing, that whole conversation.
Right? I feel sorry. That's whole
how this
thing,
all started.
I think that whole topic is one we're going to stay away from, because it's just dividing our nation too much, and let the FBI do their job. And then whatever the results are and whatever happens, we'll have to move on, right? We just can't. It's too much negativity at this point.
Erica with us now.
And Erica is on the phone, and Erica is calling in to speak about Epilepsy Foundation Florida. So, Erica, welcome to our show for the third time?
Yes. Thanks for having me. This is year three.
Yeah.
And actually, we're now Epilepsy Florida. We're no longer part of the foundation. We are now with the Epilepsy Alliance of America.
Wow, so, fancy name. I like it.
Yes, I know. It takes, you know, I've been with the foundation 11 years. I just said it myself. And it takes a lot of training after 11 years to change your whole branding and your name, and to train yourself to, okay, you know, hello brain.
Right. Well, welcome again. I do remember we had that issue with the snake one of the times that you came on the show, at the old studio.
Yeah, I'm still, that mechanic still calls me the lady with the snake. Yeah, I had a snake in my engine, so yeah, I'll have to do it when I call there and I need help. I just say, hey, it's Erica with the snake.
So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your background and why you got involved with the Epilepsy Foundation of Epilepsy.
Okay, like I said, I've been with them now for 11 years. I started out as a case manager, and I kind of fell into the position. And in all honesty, I had never known a single person or saw a seizure in my life when I took the position. So it was a real eye-opener for me, and I have to tell you, I run support groups also. And the first seizure, as many people, if you've ever seen anybody having a seizure, can be very scary when you're witnessing and you're trying to figure out, oh, what am I supposed to do? Anyhow, so I've transitioned many positions throughout 11 years. I went to doing, which I've always done, is doing presentations on seizure first aid and talking about our services that we And then I also transitioned into being, we have healthcare navigation for the Affordable Care Act, so I was a certified federal navigator. I did that for a couple of years. And now my position is going out and raising awareness about epilepsy and about our services, basically going out and doing presentations on seizure first aid with students. That's a big one. I just did 7 presentations in a row at New Smyrna Beach High School for their medical academy students. These are very, very important topics, and people need to be aware.
So what type of services does the Epilepsy Foundation provide?
Like I said, we have support groups. We are in 35 counties throughout the state of Florida. And we have support groups, and we have information referrals. We have medical case management. So if people don't have health insurance and they need to get in to see their neurologist, we can assist them with that on a sliding fee scale basis because we are a nonprofit.
And I don't think we have enough neurologists around either. Some patients have to wait so long for an appointment.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the case manager comes in. So we connect them directly with the providers who are contracted with us. So the case manager will help them with that. The medications for this disease is so expensive. Medications are just expensive anyway. So we can assist them when filling out the paperwork to get their medications at a discount or even for free at times. We pay for EEGs, MRI, CT scans. So if somebody has had a seizure and then has yet another seizure and so they think it may be epilepsy and they have not been diagnosed, well, we can assist them with getting to that neurologist and getting those tests done. So that would they can be diagnosed or we can say, no, it's not this, so you can move on to something else.
Now, as a nurse, I've seen people who've had seizures, and like you say, it's not pretty. Yeah, we've had to, you know, in the old days, we used to have to keep a tongue blade at the bedside or something so that they don't just bite their tongues off, you know. Was long ago. But tell our listeners a little bit about the different types of seizures. And I think they used to call it different names. Back home in the islands, they call seizures or epilepsy, they'll say a lay term, like someone is having fits. You know,
that's another old school statement. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, that tells you my age. But some of the older people, they still use that term because people didn't know what it was. So tell our listeners a little bit about the different type of seizures.
Well, actually, there are over 20 different types of seizures.
Well, what are the most, the main ones, the grand mal and the petite?
That would be mainly what we would think, what they call grand mal, which is now called tonic-clonic, which is the convulsions and very, very blatant in your face where people are, you know, shaking on the floor. There's also focal seizures where people just stare off and, you know, just for brief seconds.
Yeah, it's okay. Our producer was just telling us that in the they used to call seizures moonstruck as well. Have you ever heard?
Now that one I hadn't heard of. That's a new one on me.
Yeah.
So basically, everyone always thinks of about the grand mal, and you know, it's amazing when I go out and present how many people think you can swallow your tongue. Okay, it's physically impossible to swallow your tongue.
You can bite it.
I'm always telling people
you can
to
bite
put their
it,
head back and go ahead and try.
Yeah, you can bite it, though, and it will bleed.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's, you know, sometimes when they're seizing, they'll bite the inside of their cheek or their tongue. So, you know, basically what you're going to want to do when someone is having that type of seizure is you're going to put them on their side. Never restrain someone that's having a seizure. There is nothing that a person can do to stop that seizure from happening. It'll run its course. And you do not always have to call 911. It's not always necessary. Seizures generally last 5 minutes or less. Generally, it's like 1 to 3 minutes. And the person will start coming out of it normally within 5 minutes.
Right, and you turn them on the side so they don't choke and they vomit.
That's right.
And Most important. And I think a lot of people don't know that. That's why it's so important to have shows such as these, because sometimes you can go visit a friend, or you're just with family and someone is having a seizure and you need to know what to do immediately.
Absolutely. And you know, people, they just need to stay calm and let that seizure run its course. Protect their head from hitting the ground, so put a jacket or something underneath their head when they're on their side. And just go ahead and talk to them, even though they're not going to respond to you, and tell them, You're having a seizure. It's okay. I'm with you. And you can put your hand on them. Just don't, you know, to comfort them. Just don't hold them down. And generally, after within, like I said, within 5 minutes, that seizure, they're going to start coming back to consciousness.
So do you come in contact with a lot of people that can't afford the medication? Because the medication for seizures, as well as the blood test and all that, it can add up.
Absolutely. Yes, because of the effects some of these medications have on the body, blood work is generally necessary almost monthly. We have discount cards, prescription discount cards that we hand out to anybody that needs them. And like I said, we can assist them with filling out those patients' assistance applications for those pharmaceutical companies because, yes, it is expensive. And the medication is necessary. That is one of the major ways, the major way that people are controlling their epilepsy.
Right. And I know the last time you were here, we had talked about this, and you all have seen very young children as well. How does a parent recognize the signs and symptoms of what could be epilepsy? I mean, what should they do? What kind of conversations should they be having with their pediatricians?
Well, and that's the important thing is that they need to keep what we'll call is a diary. So if you're suspecting that the child may be having a focal seizure where they're staring off, and a lot of times children are misdiagnosed with attention deficit disorder, because they're like, okay, little Johnny's not paying attention at school. The teacher's noticing he's staring off. Okay, well, that may possibly be him having a seizure, and he's losing time, and therefore he's falling behind in the classroom. So it's those things that it's so important, the awareness is to, if you're thinking that this is even a possibility, then you need to talk to your pediatrician and probably get some testing via neurologist.
And do you guys find over at the Epilepsy Foundation that there's still a stigma attached to someone who is diagnosed? And how do you, what's a message we could spread to people that don't be afraid to come forward to seek treatment?
Absolutely. Let's make sure that everybody knows that epilepsy is not contagious. It is a neurological disorder of the brain where they call it a brainstorm, where it's misfiring. You know, and it is not contagious. And it's sad, I've heard teachers say that, yes, I have a student that has epilepsy, and I still have parents that do not want their children playing with that child. I mean, can you believe that still exists?
That's horrible.
That's sad.
Yeah. But, you know, that's because they're not educated. I mean, I think once you're aware of what causes epilepsy and how we can treat it, and people do grow up and they have very productive lives, they're just managed with medication and through treatment. So
absolutely.
So I think that's the message from today's show, that it can, you know, that we can help people. So this month is Domestic Violence Month is October, but November is Epilepsy Awareness Month. So
yes, absolutely.
Right. So what events do you have planned, you and your team? Because you work with a group of people and you're all dedicated to this cause. And you all are always doing walks on the beach, New Smyrna Beach. And she invited me to come to New Smyrna Beach as well. I've never been there, so I may. So tell us some of the events that you're going to be having for Epilepsy Awareness Month.
Myself, personally, I'm having a dinner on November 13th. And it's called Amore for Epilepsy. So Amore, like that's Amore. We're talking about loving people with epilepsy. So we're having dinner and cocktails and dancing and a guest speaker and education. We're going to have some pharmaceutical reps there to talk about what's new in development in regards to medications. There's all kinds of different events going on throughout the state and like 8 major cities. So they can all go, everybody can go to epilepsyfl.com, and they can get a list of events on our website, and go ahead and sign up and come join us, because it's really important to get the word out. This is our big month, and this is our time to shine and to really get the word out and spread that awareness and education.
And Erica, how is the Epilepsy Alliance founded? I mean, how is it funded? Because I know that you know, you all depend on to partner up with businesses and private individuals to help as well. So what can we do to help you all to spread that message?
Well, you're right. We are a nonprofit. So we rely mainly on donors, and sponsors and supporters. So if anybody would like to be a sponsor, like you can get a table, be a table sponsor for $200, and that's for a table of eight at my dinner. So we have different kind of options like that for people, and we would absolutely love volunteers.
Yeah. Where's
rely heavily on volunteers.
Where's the dinner going to be at again? Maybe we can put that on our website, because, you know, I have over 4,000 friends on Facebook. I'm pretty sure I have some up in New Smyrna.
Very popular women, I've noticed that. mine is in Port Orange, Florida, so that's just south of Daytona. And so it's between Daytona and New Smyrna, which is a nice kind of halfway point, so people from both areas can come and join.
What are some of the nice things to do in that area? Because you live there too, right?
Yes, I've lived here 20 years.
Wow. So maybe you could entice our listeners with some of the nice historic areas there. Maybe they might come spend a weekend, attend the event.
Yes. We have the most beautiful B&Bs in the area. And they're right on the river, and you're right next to Historic Canal Street, where there's all kinds of shopping and restaurants, museums, and all kinds of cultural events are always going on. And then we're close to Flagler Avenue, which is our major street, and there's always, it seems like every weekend there's an event going on Flagler Avenue. So you can come for the weekend, spend the weekend, and spend the night with us. Enjoy the beach. We have a beach you can drive on. And it's just absolutely beautiful here.
So for our listeners who are just tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Erica McKinney, and she is speaking to us today on behalf of the Epilepsy Foundation. Foundation.
Epilepsy Florida.
Epilepsy Florida. I don't know why when I Googled your name,
I'm telling you. It's hard.
Epilepsy.
It's really difficult.
So I did put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it is epilepsyfl.com. And then I also posted the Amour for Epilepsy, which is in Port Orange on November 18th.
Right, and
we've changed the date to be November 13th, and I'm not sure if they changed on the website yet, but I'll double check with our media.
Boy, we're so glad you have us there to correct us.
That's right.
Because
I'm on top of my game.
Yeah. And so I love the mission of the mission, right? It's to lead the fight to overcome the challenges of living with epilepsy and to accelerate therapies to stop seizures, find cures, and save lives. And, you know, it's really amazing that we always come across such wonderful people such as yourself that dedicate your life cause to this. So, I mean, what else can we do to help you? You need volunteers, you want people to attend the event, and just become more aware of what epilepsy is and how we can help our fellow citizens. What else can we do? Because I know Ellen is busy there on the website trying to post things and make sure that we have the link to your event and your website. But just tell us what else, is there like a group you'd like to speak to in town? We can do that as well.
I will speak to anyone that will listen to me. I have gone into churches to do this. I've gone into, like I said, the schools. I did a presentation to medical foster parents. And I actually had one call the other day, and she said, I work at a child care facility now. She said, and one of the little ones had a seizure and nobody knew what to do. She said, I remembered your presentation, Erica, and it stuck with me, and I knew exactly what to do. So it's things like that that really give me goosebumps.
Right. And do you ever run across parents who are finding it very challenging to have a child with epilepsy and work and have health insurance, put food on the table, all the things that we talk about when we want to help our fellow citizens? I mean, what do parents do when they don't have that help?
That's exactly, it's heart-wrenching. We do have Camp Boggy Creek. We send children with epilepsy to Camp Boggy Creek. It's usually in the month of July. So they go for a week, and then they have amazing medical staff there that are very well trained, and they know exactly what to do. So parents can take a break for a week and know that their kids are in a safe environment with other children like themselves. We also have parent support groups that are online, and parents can also come, and anybody can come to any of the support groups. You do not have to have epilepsy or be a caregiver to attend these support groups. And these people become like family, so they have other parents to talk to and to contact on those days where they are overwhelmed because they're frustrated with the lack of seizure control in their children. It's very heart-wrenching for them.
Right, and it's important that they're they're educated on the side effects of the medication as well, and when that they should take it on time. They should get their testing done. I mean, it's a, it's all an education, because I think one of the things we see in nursing is sometimes people will skip a dose, try to make up the dose. Sometimes they don't want to go for their lab test, but it's important. It's all a package deal if you want to take care of yourself.
Absolutely, and you're right. A lot of them, the people with epilepsy, do not want to take these medications because they feel kind of drugged out. It makes me lethargic. It makes me angry. The side effects are very, very, all very different, and it's a big range. So parents have that issue with, okay, well, it's making him hyperactive, or it's making him drugged out. What do I do? So these medications, these parents really need that assistance.
Even in school, if you have children who are taking epilepsy meds, they probably can't focus as well as other children too, because one of the side effects is lethargy, and you do get very sleepy.
Right.
You do. And so I think it's so important for teachers to understand as well who these children are. So number one, so that they're not stigmatized, and number two, that they get that additional help that they need. And I think Pastor Paul was saying something. He was saying phenobarbital. Yeah, in the old days they used to take that. Oh my gosh!
Oh yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely one of the older medications.
Yeah, I remember
giving
that years ago.
Way.
I know. I remember giving that to patients three times a day, and now they've got Neurontin and Tegretol. And the good thing is, for the children, a lot of the medications come in liquid form, which is really good.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about medical marijuana. That has done a fabulous, fabulous job for a lot of our patients, a lot of our clients and participants, and for those children. You know, we try to educate. We've really supported the medical marijuana because the side effects are very minimal compared to a lot of these medications. But the issue is it's not covered by insurance, therefore it is kind of expensive.
So how do we get that to bring more awareness to the fact that it does work, that medical marijuana does work for epilepsy? And what is the key back on that? Why isn't we don't hear much about it? We see it on Facebook, and we see people put 30-second videos that it's helping them, but in the public, a lot of people don't know that it's helping that much.
That's right. As good as a stigma to it, because people don't realize that, you know, it's less than 1% THC. So you're not walking, you're not giving your children
a lot of roadblocks.
Marijuana.
Lot of roadblocks, because I think if people can't make money off of it, they're going to put up those roadblocks.
That's right. And like I said, insurance isn't covering it. That's a big issue right there, is even just accessing it is difficult.
Well,
so
if
we could get insurance companies to kick in here and, you know, wake up and, you know, let's come into the 21st century here. And but I guess they just have to do their thing.
Well, you continue what you're doing to bring awareness to epilepsy, and we will do whatever we can to help. And I think you're absolutely correct. Whatever it takes to help people so that they could live lives to its fullest potential, we should do it.
And all of our listeners out there should know that Epilepsy Florida has a fantastic website.
You just
They've
said
got
it
a great.
Again.
I did it right.
Yeah, yeah, you did
I
it
got
right.
It right in front of me, so I
just,
know I'm doing
I just
right.
said you did it. You did it.
It's very user-friendly.
It is very user-friendly, and there's a lot of resources on here that parents and folks might not know that have family that might be suffering with epilepsy, so make sure you tune into that. And, of course, if you are going to be in the Port Orange area, I'd like to go up there, make sure that you register for our More for Epilepsy, and that's going to be on November 13th. And I did post that, so hopefully
Sounds
the website
Italian.
Will change.
Is it Amore?
It's Amore.
It is.
Amore.
Yes,
like love.
We're having an Italian-themed dinner.
That's Amore.
Do you have a vegetarian option as well?
Absolutely.
Because if I can talk my kids into coming, we might come and attend. I'm working that weekend, so we'll see. I always enjoy supporting the people that support Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and you guys have.
So we're going to take a quick station break. Thank you so much, Erica McKinney, for being
Thank
with
you.
Us today. And we're going to take a quick station break and listen to more people that support the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends radio show.
The Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is a very chatty Sita Begin. We have such a great show today. Sometimes we have to remember we're on air, really, because we're having such a great time. So we're back. Ellen Little is back, and we have Agent Cindy Young and Claire Ellis with us from the Zonta Club. And boy, this segment is going to be all about Zonta and chocolates and the festival and all the great things Zonta is doing for women and how to stop human trafficking, how to bring more awareness to what's going on. So we're going to have Cindy introduce herself to our listening audience, and then we'll go from there.
Well, my name's Cindy Young. I work for the Sheriff's Office. I've been in the Special Victims Unit for over 9 years, almost 10 years now. And I work with all the crimes against persons. So I say all my cases have faces. So there's always somebody behind every investigation we do. And so we partnered with Zonta 2-3 years ago, I think, and we've just had a great relationship with them. They are so supportive. They love to do activities to help support education and awareness for domestic violence victims or any kind of violence against women, human trafficking. So we appreciate you having us on the show. I'm glad. I appreciate Claire inviting me. to come along. And so we're glad to share any information we have with your listeners. And
I know.
We can talk it all up.
Getting a whole bunch on Facebook Live. They love you both.
That they do.
And so
it's
Claire
amazing.
Ellis, our friend, and you're also my neighbor, and she's just awesome. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with this wonderful organization?
Well, that is an interesting story, Sita, because I've been with Zonta 15 years. And the reason that I really got involved in the human trafficking issue was right after I joined Zonta. I went to a conference, and they were talking about, someone was in the front of the room doing this presentation about the first project that Zonta International was doing to fight human trafficking, and it was in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And a light went off because I had just come back from there. I went with my sister. She wanted to visit her daughter who was doing mission work there, and she was in ill health, so she asked me to please go with her. And the time we spent there, 3 weeks after the wars, I saw the abject poverty. I saw there were no jobs. There was nothing for women at all. It was just a complete abject poverty. And so they said that what was happening is after the wars, all the borders became safe, and the human trafficking was very prevalent in Eastern Europe. So it was very easy then, the borders all became very soft, and there was a big push to bring women to the West. And so I saw that, I said, I could see anybody going up to a woman there and promising them a better life, education, I'll give you your passport, you've come to the United States, come wherever. So I said, well, this is real. And so that's how I initially became involved and wanted to train, and learn everything I could.
And it happens everywhere. We just have to be so watchful. I remember when we went to, we were in Istanbul, Turkey, and I saw these beautiful children, blonde, blue-eyed kids just coming up to us. They were very dirty, their hands and feet, their clothing were very worn, and they were begging us for money. And I started thinking, boy, anything could happen to these children. I mean, what if somebody just pulled up in a van and just take the children? And they were, I don't know if there were adults watching these children, but they were literally begging you, holding onto your clothing, your purse. And I was thinking, this is what human trafficking is all about. It starts with the children.
It really does.
Yes, and more recently now, though, what is really true, everyone still thinks it's those being brought here from other countries, but what we need to really understand, it's our own children here, United States citizens. 100,000 children every year are at risk, U.S. citizens, for human trafficking.
And I think from an awareness thing, too, that there are kids going around selling magazines. And I think I told you this story.
Yes.
It was quite a few years ago now, maybe 4 years ago. But a friend of mine lives in Merritt Island,
exactly.
And it was a white van, no windows, and these children were walking up and down. And, you know, Tropical Trail is not the place to be walking up and down the street because there's no sidewalks. And these children were going up and really putting, like, heavy sales pressure on getting magazine sales.
Right.
And so when my friend called me and she said, well, what do you think? I said, call the police right away. That's not normal.
At 12 o'clock in the day, a child that age should be in school.
Exactly.
Something's not right.
So, I mean, it does happen, you know, and we talked about this quite a few times. It happens right here.
Well, you guys have been on the show the last couple of times, I found, like right now, and Cindy, you could probably answer this, the impact of social media has really helped with bringing awareness to human trafficking, because now people are posting stories, and we know when they're real, they're not fake, because there's pictures, there's people to go along with it. So I find that over the last few years, we've been hearing about human trafficking. We all remember that movie Taken, but then after that, we started seeing so much more about human trafficking on the web and how, what to look out for, and the impact of what it's having on everyday life.
And it's a wide topic. I mean, it's not just sex trafficking or forced servitude. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects from what would seem like very, very, you know, benign type events, like you were mentioning about the kids selling magazines. Unless somebody is really paying attention to what's going on there, you just think it's kids selling magazines, all the way up to the gangs with the recruiting of the runaways and the sex trafficking trade there, where they move them around through a circuit, basically. They move girls around the circuit, so they never are orientated as to where exactly they're at. So these, putting the social media aspect of it and putting people's faces out there, so many people are on the internet and it reaches so many people. So it makes a huge difference to be able to get those faces out there. You know, where was this child last seen? Who were they in the company of? You know, or adults too, for that matter. You know, we have a lot of vulnerable adults that will fall victim to human trafficking as well. So these are, the social media aspect has made, you know, there's good and bad to everything.
Right.
But for something like this, it's good.
If it's used the right way, it certainly can.
But also social media is being used to target some of these kids. And
yes.
They play to their vulnerability.
That's why you got to watch your kids.
Right.
It goes back to what we were talking about, right?
I'm looking on Zonta's website. It says from instant message to instant nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because who's sex traffickers have online access. Don't let them access and recruit your kids.
I'd like to just interject. If you have minors living in your home, parents, you need to have their passwords. Do not be afraid to have their passwords. And I tell this to the teenagers all the time. Not that your parents are going to spy on you, but they need to know where, if they needed to, where you are, who your friend, who you know, what
know
you're
their
doing.
Friends.
Yes, so
the friends always know everything,
so,
right?
So you need to let your parents have your passwords on all your devices.
Right. And, you know, I know when Zonta came, when we first started talking with Claire and learning about the Zonta Club, we were talking about the organization were about empowering women worldwide through your service and advocacy. But you guys have branched out into so many areas. What are some of the other services?
Well, this is very excited to talk about our new international projects for the biennium that we're going to be working towards as well. And one that we've been kind of working toward for a long time, but now going after with full force, is ending child marriage in the world. And we are specifically in 12 countries, and we've committed $2 million at least. And it's a project through the funding of UNICEF. And what we're doing is, in these 12 countries, 9 in Africa and India, Bangladesh, and Nepal, going in, talking to the girls, talking to the families, getting them to understand education is important. These girls don't need to be married, having children. They're children themselves. They need to be in school. So we're in a two-year project there in all these countries, the 12 countries, and we're also in Madagascar, where there's a high rate of violence, and again, no education for girls beyond primary. And when we think about these things as women, we can't fathom in other countries. The girls there, once they finish primary school, they can't go to middle school, because once they start their menstrual cycle, there's only one latrine for everyone. And so they just stay home, and they miss so much school, and it's just a normal thing. So we're going to be building latrines there just for the girls, so they can stay in school, take care of themselves properly, and continue. And that way they'll be able, we believe every year of education, no matter if it's just going from third grade to fourth grade, will help the woman, her family, her children. They'll eat better.
Well, when you educate the girls, you educate the community.
Yes.
When
yes.
you educate the men, you educate the family.
Exactly.
Right? And you're right, because, you know, in a lot of cultures, once you start having a period, that's it. Then your marriage material.
Exactly.
And they start looking for someone to marry you off to. And oftentimes, if someone comes across, and even if they're much older, but they have a money or land, the parents will give that innocent child to that person.
Thing, right?
It's just wrong. Yep. I'm so glad that Zonta is here in Melbourne as well.
Yes, we support the Pridmore Center here. It is a residence for homeless women and children, and we do everything we can to support them with things that they need, classes, food, different back-to-school events, the annual Christmas party, everything we can do to help these women.
I feel
get
sorry
back
for
into
women.
The community.
I swear I do. When you think about what we have, how far we've come, and how many of our women, sisters, are left behind in so many countries, and they're really suffering. Like what you were saying, it's the truth. And sometimes you do have to travel outside of the United States to see exactly what is going on in so many nations to women and children. And I'm glad that Zonta here in Melbourne, you paint such a picture for us that we could actually see it playing out in front of us. We can't forget that.
We believe very strongly in education. We give many scholarships. That is the key. We just believe that so strongly, and we give 4 or 5 scholarships. And we also we have the new technology scholarship partnered with the EDC, manufacturing scholarship for women to learn the new manufacturing, technical manufacturing, that the jobs that are so needed. And so we do everything we can.
And in a lot of those cultures, too, that you were mentioning in those 40 countries, the women are taught from children that, you know, the man comes first, put his food on the table, make sure his clothes are washed, make sure the children are taken care of. So the women actually really don't take care of themselves. So okay. It's great when Zonta stops, and even a simple thing as buying a sewing machine is great for some of those women. Because yes. You offer them a way out, even if they could make clothing or something to help themselves.
We're doing that in the third project in Jordan. There's so many Syrian refugees there, and the women and children, and they're just in these camps, and they have no money. They have no way to make a living. We're trying to give them cash money every day for different jobs that they can do, maybe with a sewing machine. We're trying to get some education going there for the children, providing meals. We're there now, as that's one of our other projects for this biennium. So anything we can do, and here locally, we're always fighting violence against women. So we're having our big event coming up.
So before we start talking about the events, I was going to ask Agent Young to tell us. So you've partnered up with the Zonta Club of Melbourne to help with domestic violence. And I want you to tell us a little bit about the domestic violence program you initiated 3 years ago to help with strangulation, death by strangulation.
Strangulation, domestic homicide by strangulation has been a national topic for several years. And so we addressed that, started our program about 3 years ago, where we were doing a better job at educating the community, better job at investigating the cases. We're documenting these cases a lot better, so our prosecution rates are going up. But one of the key components of that program was the education process and partnering with the community. And that's kind of how there's been a lot of different county agencies. We're very blessed here in this county as far as domestic violence resources goes. Let me just put that out there. We have some great shelters, great organizations, and a lot of people who really care. So if there's any place to be a victim, I would say this is the best place, really.
Yeah, you have a lot of resources. But yes. I think we would like to educate people so that does not happen.
And so these
women
are
not slapped,
exactly,
and hit and shot at and strangulated, and women are treated like their life has value from birth, right?
And that is such a huge component of the program. Such a huge component is to be able to go out, find others who believe in your cause, who want this same thing. They want to do good. They want to help. They want to help others in the community. And when we partnered with Zonta, they were so eager to help and educate. They took our materials. They went to church groups. They did programs for us. We went with them. I'm telling you, it has been such a wonderful experience to be able to get out into our county and really do a lot of work with others. And you would be so surprised at how many people do not recognize how dangerous just one strangulation event can be. It causes traumatic brain injuries. I mean, you can have long-lasting effects from that sort of thing. This is not something, any kind of violence against others is not good, but we need to address like the lethalities really strongly,
and it affects the perpetrator as well as the victim and the families too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just imagine being raised in an environment where these things are happening. But I think this is a good time for us to say too that right now in our country we have so much hate and anger and division. It starts at the top. Like all of us have to start being a kinder, more gentler nation. And I think when that trickles down to us on the grassroots level as well, And just maybe there's a sliver of hope that people won't be so angry. I mean, they're so angry, and people are angry at their jobs, they're angry driving, they're angry at home. They're just an angry, and I don't understand, you know, these are times when you should sit down and say, hey, what's bothering you? Why? Because then you go home and you take it out on your spouse and children when you're that angry, right?
Yes, it is. It just manifests in so many different situations. There's, like you say, you know, you see the road rage incidents, and, you know, this trickles down to your children, and your children are then, you know, are mimicking behaviors, and they're taking that to their friends, and it's getting into the schools. And it is, violence is an epidemic. It has to be stopped. It's getting just completely and totally out of
hand. And it affects everyone from all walks of life.
We had a doctor friend from the CDC, and they've been actually deployed in certain areas, and it was a domestic or a violence epidemic is what they called it. And they're sending out physicians out to go talk to these schools and middle school girls. That was seemed to be the target in many of the cities, were middle school girls that were either victims of or perpetrating the violence.
Right, and we always think of violence as physical, but it can be emotional, financial, physical, bullying. You know, it's all different forms of violence. And boy, the minute you wake up and you hit the ground running and all these things come at you, it ruins your whole day, your whole life. And this is happening, like Claire was saying, all over the world, not just in the United States. So tell us a little bit about some of the events that are coming up.
Oh, I'd be happy to. October 6th, coming up Saturday, is the We'll Run for Chocolate, Won't Stand for Violence 5K walk run at the Field of Dreams. Kickoff will be, or we'll begin the run at 8 o'clock, and Sheriff Ivy will be there to start us off. And we partnered with the Brevard County Sheriff's Association. They're going to have a team, and we're excited about that. And our big sponsor, Northrop Grumman, is going to be there with a team as well. And there's going to be lots and lots of chocolate. So get online either at zontaspacecoast.org or secure.runningzone.com and get registered for the race. It's all for a good cause. It supports all our good works. And Field of Dreams is a beautiful, beautiful place as well.
Where is this at?
It's at 3053 Fell Road, West Melbourne.
Oh, okay, great.
It's on Wickham. Right.
Well, on Minton, Minton Road. Yeah.
No, somebody just asked me, what does Zonta have to do with chocolate?
We have to quickly explain that. Yes, yes.
Explain that.
We already have our 15th annual chocolate festival set for March 3rd of 19 at the Melbourne Auditorium. And it's all about using ethically sourced chocolate for all the chocolate used there. And the competitors, we hope, that our winners from the last festival will be there with lots of chocolate at the 5K run. It's all about fair trade and not using enslaved children to get the cocoa pods, which is what's happening on the Ivory Coast of Africa. And we teach you the symbols to look for in the fair trade products. And it's all about good
source
chocolate.
And they're still doing that, huh? Even though there's so much effort to stop.
Zonta
has been so active in bringing this to the forefront so that we all learn what they're doing with these children. And the governments are still allowing it.
Well, it's interesting. Anybody can go. Just go on your website to the United States labor site, international labor site, and you'll see all the countries listed and the products listed that they believe are by enslaved children. They're letting you know this. It's not a secret. Go and look at this, and you will see what the products are and the countries that they come from. Then they have another list, and they say, oh, we know these are made by enslaved children. Just go right on the U.S. labor site, and you'll see it
there. And Kit Kat falls on that list. We discussed this last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know, and it broke your heart.
It broke my heart, but I don't really buy it anymore. So, and Cindy, so how can you help our community to bring more awareness to what's happening with domestic violence, with bullying, with what's going on, what the Zonta Club is trying to help? And with the police department has been so great. Well, the sheriff has been great in being active. You all have been seen all over.
He is amazing. He is everywhere all the time, and he is very, very involved and in touch with our community and the citizens in our county, and even outside of our county, he's made a huge impact in, you know, in the programs and the things that we've done here. And that is part of, thankfully, that has promoted more and more community involvement, community enrichment. We are all involved in all sorts of things. So if you check our Facebook, Brevard Sheriff's official Facebook, they've got all of the events that are coming up. We love to partner with Santo. We love to go out into the community and make appearances and talk to folks. So just showing up and seeing us and stopping us and talking to us and asking us, you know, we love to share.
Just being part of the community.
Yes.
And you absolutely also have your therapy dog, Murphy.
I do.
That you try to bring with you when you're trying to help victims who've been traumatized.
Yes, that's so another program that we have going on there too. Yes, we do have a therapy dog program where we use them for, we have two now, Murphy and Duke, and my partner Carrie Pine has Duke. He's a little French bulldog, and Murphy's a little terrier. Murphy's been working 3.5 years. It helps the kids. So, you know, we bring in a little dog. I mean, they've been through enough. They've been through a lot. And this is a great program. So they sit and they pet the dog, and, you know, they don't get so afraid about what's going on. So,
well, we would be remiss if we didn't take a minute to thank Deborah Buza from the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center for sponsoring the show today.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have good friends, and you could just send a text and say, would you be willing to help sponsor some nonprofits? And then the same day, I talked to Claire, and Deb remembered that she had said yes.
And we were actually all together.
It worked out wonderful.
This past, what was it, Friday, Thursday?
Thursday night, Bras for a Cause.
Bras for a Cause, which was also another event.
Played beautifully.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, R. Ellen, master of everything. So, Claire, what can we do to get our community more involved with Santa? Because I'm kind of saddened to know that it's still happening with these children that are being used to pick the cocoa beans and for the chocolate. I mean, it's a professional group. It's right here in Melbourne. And those who can give time, they can give money. They can help in some way. So what can we do?
Well, support the run. That's very important. Support us. Support the Chocolate Festival. Support our events. Come and volunteer with us. We're always asking. We say, if you don't want to join us, come and volunteer. Learn about what we do. If you're a member of any community, church, school, you want us to come and talk to you about the strangulation or human trafficking, we want to come out and work with you. We're volunteers to the community. We're service. We're all about service. So if you're about service and you want to volunteer to come or join us, go on our website. You'll see we meet the third Tuesday of the month. Come to the run.
And Cindy, what can you do in your 30-second speech, elevator speech, to get more people involved so that we don't have such an angry nation, but a loving, kind, gentle nation?
And I think everybody just needs to calm down, Sita.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
We were saying it before the show started. Everybody just needs a nap.
We need another Gandhi, right? It's almost like when you say service to God is service to mankind, think about those words. They're so powerful. It doesn't matter what you do in life, you're serving humanity. Patience, calm. You know,
that's all. Just be patient.
And respect. How about respect and civility?
Absolutely.
You see a police officer or a man in uniform, a woman in uniform, show some respect. They didn't just wake up like that. Let's take some time, right?
So once again, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'd like to thank all of our guests, Erica McKinney with the Epilepsy Florida, certainly with Cindy Young with the Brevard County Sheriff's Department, and Claire Ellis with Zonta.
She's been with
the police
force 40 years.
So we all know.
And Claire looks great too.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday.